I will open the Senate Committee on Rules for February 9th, 2010. Ladies and gentlemen, the process here this morning is we're going to go through interviews for about 35 separate individuals that have been appointed to various commissions and boards. We will be in public hearing all during that process, and then at the very end of the process, we will go into work session and actually take action on all the interviews that we have already conducted. I'm going to start off by opening a public hearing on the appointments of Debbie Glass and Lori Lou Chack to the Workforce Investment Board. Ms. Glass?
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with some of the other committee members for the Senate Rules Committee. Could you please, in 1 or 2 minutes, explain your interest and background for the Workforce Investment Board?
Okay, great. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to call in here today. My name is Lori Luchek, and I'm president of Miles Fiberglass and Composites. As an employer for many years in Oregon, I've been involved in workforce training from an employer's viewpoint. I've participated in many organizations that involve workforce training. Being co-chair of the Green Jobs Council gives me a good understanding about high-growth jobs for Oregon. Our family-owned business has been operating in Oregon for over 46 years. I've been involved for 26 of those years and know what it takes to run and operate a business in Oregon. We produce many products for green industries. Our composite business is a business that offers in-depth, on-the-job, and customized training at family wages. We have partnered with Clackamas Community College for much of our training needs. I feel my experience with being on various boards, dealing with local colleges, and my experience in our business will benefit to Oregon Workforce Investment Board. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. If you have any questions, I would be more than happy to answer those at this time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Glass. This is Senator Jason Atkinson. Senator Devlin had to step out for a moment. Are there any questions? Thank you very much for joining us. We'll take action on your appointment a little bit later this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will call forward Lori Lou. Check. Not capitalized.
She's on the phone. Okay. She's on the phone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Senator Jason Atkinson. You are on the telephone with us for the Rules Committee.
Yes.
Go ahead and please introduce yourself for the record.
Great. I am Debbie Glass. I am an assistant administrator for patient care at Providence Newburgh Medical Center.
Thank you very much. Go ahead and please tell us why you're interested in this appointment.
I have been involved with the Oregon Healthcare Workforce Institute for almost 4 years now, and have just a passion really around workforce issues, and have also been involved with some mentoring of kids and workforce issues. So I kind of have seen and had experience with the full spectrum, and am very concerned, of course, with healthcare about our future workforce and will we have enough of the right kind of providers. But in addition to the healthcare workforce, we really need everybody to make the whole system work. So I'm just very interested in the whole topic of workforce and workforce planning.
Thank you very much. Are there questions? I have one question for you. Are you still currently the interim CEO at Providence?
I am not. We hired a CEO, and he's been on board for about 6 weeks now.
Thank you very much. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Close the public hearing on Workforce Investment Board. Open a public hearing on the appointments of James Hendry, Roger Carlson, and Fran Furter to the Psychologist Examiners.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Jim Hendry. I'm applying for the State Board of Psychologists.
I'm an attorney in Portland, Oregon. I've been an attorney since 1983.
I have to say that's the most efficient use of time. That was very good. Go ahead.
I've been with the law firm Brownstein Rass since 1988. I've been a partner there for 16 years. I've spent 10 years on the state chiropractic board. I'm currently on the Governor's Council of Economic Advisors, and before that I was with the Securities Division in Salem, working there doing white-collar crime prosecution. I'm interested in serving on the State Board of Psychologists because one of my partners, Ray Rask, was on the board for a number of years. I'm also interested in public service. I see it as a way to give back to the citizens in a way that has been very fortunate for me here in the state of Oregon. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Is there any questions? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, yesterday I sent an email to, I hope, all the potential appointees today regarding an incident that occurred recently with the chairman of the board of the State Marine Board. And I wondered if the applicant had a chance to read that article.
I did read it briefly. I didn't understand how it would apply to my application to the State Board of Psychologists.
I hope to connect the dots for you. This was an individual who'd served 32 years on the Marine Board. And prior to a decision on Waldo Lake, he was called into the governor's office and virtually ordered as the chairperson to conclude in a particular way, at the threat of losing his appointment to the Marine Board. At least that's what he says in this article. And I wondered if you were faced with that circumstance as a board member in this most important board, brought into a bureaucrat's office and told the way in which you must conclude at the risk of your office, of your appointment. How does that comport with the oath of office, which says that you'll faithfully discharge the duties to the best of your ability?
I would abide by the oath, and my independence, my own freedom of thought, I think is one of the important things that I would be appointed to the board for. I think you bring, as a public member in particular, protection of the citizens of the state of Oregon is very important, and I prided myself on that on the chiropractic board, and in this particular health care board, I would pride myself as that as well. I mean, obviously, we're charged with protecting the citizens of the state of Oregon, and my independence is one of the reasons that I would ask for your important for your vote.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's important for us to make a distinction between serving at the governor's pleasure and always agreeing with the governor's staff. And that's what's at issue here, and I'm very gratified to hear that you would believe that you're appointed to represent the citizens of Oregon, not necessarily a political position of someone in the governor's office.
No, and that's particularly important when you're on a health care advisory board.
I agree. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? Thank you. We'll take action on your appointment a little bit later. Fran Furter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Fran Furter, and I'm a clinical psychologist in Glen Eden Beach, Oregon. I have been a psychologist for about 30 years. I've served on the ethics board in the state of Washington. I'm licensed as a psychologist in both Oregon and Washington. I think that my past practice as a clinician over all these years, also in academics, as an author, as a speaker, would serve the board well, and I'm interested in serving on the board for the primary reason of offering some public service. I've not done that yet, and I have time to do that now.
Any questions? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Ferry, did you have an opportunity to receive the article?
I did not. I came over from Glen Eden Beach last night, and I've not checked email.
Could I make sure that staff makes a copy available?
Of course.
The issue for me is, were you ever told during the process of your being vetted for this very important appointment that if you had a disagreement with the governor or the governor's staff, you could be removed?
No, I was not.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Carlson?
Yes.
Mr. Carlson, if you would briefly explain your interest in serving on the Board of Psychologist Examiners and a little bit of your background in 1 to 2 minutes.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you today to explain my interest for wanting to become a member of the Board of Psychologist Examiners. For many years, I've been interested in promoting evidence-based practices in psychology, and in that spirit also for the psychology board to develop reliable and valid measures for licensure. I've participated in item writing workshops for the Oregon Jurisprudence Exam and have been an oral exam commissioner in the state of California, where I've also been licensed. I'm interested in the expansion of licensure for applied psychology in areas such as organizational and industrial psychology, educational, social, and developmental psychology as well. I'm particularly interested in fostering interdisciplinary cooperation. In particular, my background includes working in holistic health practice with the medical community, and currently I'm doing nursing home psychotherapy in the state of Washington as part of my work. I'm keenly aware of the interest in moving along the agenda for possible prescription privileges for psychologists, and served as chair of the Legislative Committee of Oregon Psych Association and when that was first proposed and promoted, facilitating that discussion. So that's a little bit of my background and my interest in serving on the board, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Carlson?
Yes.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Senator Ferriero.
Mr. Carlson, did you receive a copy of the editorial that was in the Oregonian yesterday?
No, I don't believe I did.
Okay, we'll certainly make that available by email for you to read. I think it's quite instructive.
Okay.
Mr. Carlson, if you had a difference of opinion based on your professional judgment with someone in the governor's office, would you feel bound by the appointment to follow the governor's recommendation?
Yes, I think I would, and that I am appointed by the governor.
Okay, and I guess just to press on that just a minute, Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes.
I believe there's a difference between serving at the pleasure of the governor and representing the governor's point of view in every instance, and I urge the applicant to think about the difference. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything additional? Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much. You've made some of your comments about expanding the practice. Do you have a position on your profession's ability to prescribe drugs? Which is an issue before us.
Actually, I am personally and professionally not interested in prescription privileges myself, and I don't think that I would move in that direction. But as I served as chair of the legislative committee, I tried to fairly promote the discussion for those that were advocating that. And so I would consider my position to be one of neutrality around that and trying to go through the correct processes in order that all voices be heard on the issue.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? If not, thank you very much, Mr. Carlson.
Thank you for the opportunity to meet with you today.
Okay. I'm closing the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a question for staff.
Yes.
Mr. Riley, do you have copies of the article that I mentioned in the Oregonian? Would you make those available to the public, please, and anyone who would like to get those? Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Quite well. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Peter Trumba to the Quality Education Commission. Mr. Trumba?
He's not.
Mr. Trumba.
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the other members of the Rules Committee.
Senator?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
We'd just like you to talk for a minute or two about your background and your interest in serving on the Quality Education Commission.
Sure. I'm an educator. I've worked in Oregon as a school administrator for 10 years as a middle school and high school principal. I also have worked as a technology coordinator and also a central office administrator. And these have been in three Oregon school districts, in the Greater Albany Public School District, in Eugene Public School District, and in South Lane School District. And before that, in other states, I've been a biology teacher and a computer science teacher at the middle school and high school level. My interest in the Quality Education Commission is specifically that I believe a great deal that student achievement is a tremendous concern for our state. I think the future depends on us being able to train our students to be flexible and good thinkers for on a variety of issues and problems that are only now confronting us. And I think our schools have to produce a quality product. And as someone inside the system, I see that that's not an automatic. We need adequate resources and correctly designed schools in order to give our staff members and students the best chance for success. And ever since the commission has been producing directives and direction to our schools, I've been reading those reports very assiduously and following the progress of our state to try to meet those goals, because I believe it's important work. We can't make progress with students in an environment where they don't have the adequate resources. So I'm also a very good and creative and flexible thinker, and I'd like to be able to bring that creativity to the work of the commission, possibly to be able to incorporate new ideas like technology expenditures, for instance, into our projections for what a model school should look like.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Trumba? Senator Farioli.
Now, Mr. Trumba, this is Senator Farioli. I attempted to email an article that appeared in the Oregonian yesterday. Did you receive that article?
To tell you the truth, I did not. I have not checked my email today. So I looked at it yesterday afternoon, but haven't looked at it today yet.
Yeah, Mr. Trumba, I'd like you to take a look at the article, and particularly in the context of your ability to be an independent thinker. Thank you, Mr. Trumba.
Okay, you bet.
Mr. Chair Devlin?
Yes, Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for appearing today. Quick question. In the last 10 years, education funding has gone up $1 billion here in the legislature, and you've made some comments about resources. Do you believe that education has enough money, needs more money, or how do you view that comment that you made about funding?
Well, the total, for me sitting in the field, the total expenditure on education doesn't necessarily make a tremendous difference at the school level. So I would say that in my experience being a principal of a school, the average class size in my schools has not decreased in any year. It's always either gone up or stayed steady. So with regard to total funding, to say the truth, I'm probably not equipped to answer it. With regard to individual funding at the school level, we've faced larger class sizes. Now, I will say part of the reason that we have been successful in many districts with increasing achievement is because we've gotten creative and created some smaller classes to help kids who are more in need and allowed some classes to grow, where students can learn more readily in a larger environment. But that's a tricky question. Do I think it's just a question of school funding? No, I don't. I think in many cases it has to do with how we organize ourselves as educators and as a system to best use those resources. And I would be foolish to say that my school has been organized in the best way. It's something we're continuously working on doing better. Money is not the only answer to solving school problems.
Thank you very much. Good answer.
Anything additional? Not. Thank you very much, Mr. Trumba. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later.
Thank you very much.
I'll close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Carol Whipple to the Water Resources Commission. I believe Ms. Whipple is actually here. Ms. Whipple, if you'd please identify yourself for the record and take a couple of minutes to talk about your extensive background. I read your and your interest in serving.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Carol Whipple, and I appear before you this morning for your consideration of my appointment to the Oregon Water Resources Commission. I live at 21755 Highway 138 West, Elkton, Oregon, about 3.5 miles south of town on the Rocking Sea Ranch, where I've resided since returning home to a family ag forestry operation following the completion of a master's degree in 1972. To say that living and working along the Umpqua River has been an integral part of my life would not be an overstatement. You have before you, in my written application, some of my thoughts on the relevance of my life experiences, particularly as a water user, to this position. I would just like to add that I believe thoughtful, clear, compassionate public policy is a cornerstone of good governance. I've tried to apply these standards to my previous participation on public boards and commissions and would endeavor to practice that on OWRC as well. Thank you again for your consideration. Do you have any questions?
Questions for Ms. Whipple. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Whipple, did you have an opportunity to read the editorial piece by the former director of the Marine Board?
I read a piece in the Eugene Register Guard.
Yes.
I don't know if that's the same.
Yeah, I believe it's the same article, Mr. Chairman. This is a person who served 32 years on the Marine Board. And he was brought into the office of the governor and told by someone who works for the governor that he would conclude in a particular way on a public issue prior to holding the public hearings, and was told how to conduct those public hearings in such a way that the conclusion that the staffer wanted to achieve would be achieved, and in fact told if he did not so conclude that he would be removed from his office. Do you have any opinion about the issue of the independence of the appointee? Your particular appointment is to represent the West Central region.
Correct.
And from your testimony, I gather that you intend to bring all your knowledge, skill, and ability as a water user and as an Oregonian to bear on this issue, all of the issues that will be before the board. How do you put in context the fact that some underling in the governor's office can order you to conclude in a particular way prior to public hearings?
Well, I've never been faced with that. I guess there's almost a flip part of me that might say, but I don't know that it's ever served anyone well to tell me exactly what to do.
I
have just a sort of a very spotty awareness of what you're talking about, and having read just that article, that was, I believe, the director of the. Was that correct? It was the director of the state board. I'm merely a commission member, nonetheless, and commission members, as you well know, have very different responsibilities than the director of an agency. But
Chairman, let me clarify.
Yes.
He was just the chairman of the state Marine Board.
Okay. Thank you. I may have even misread that at the time. So,
Mr. Chairman, we have copies available if anybody would like a copy of the article.
Sure.
It's quite fascinating.
And you believe that is the article in the Eugene Register Guard is very likely the same?
I believe it is exactly the same article.
Okay.
No follow-up, Mr. Chairman. I have heard everything I needed to hear from this nominee.
Okay. Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much. I was reading over your document that you submitted, and I've just really, there's four things on your resume that just jumped out at me, and the first one was your foundation experience, American Leadership Forum, trustees of my favorite university in Oregon. But there's one thing on here that was somewhat troubling, and that is from 1972 to 1975, you have listed ranch and timber management trainee of a family operation. And I'm still called a trainee in my family operation. I was wondering if that was a term of endearment or what that was.
That's probably a gentle way of putting it. I think it means you're the low person.
Yeah, well.
But anyway.
I don't think I'll ever outgrow that. Thank you very much.
I think I finally did, but I've had to live an awfully long time to do it. So.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I will close that public hearing. And I am opening a public hearing on the appointment of Troy Costales, Carol Sutton, and Richard Rutt to the Physical Therapist Licensing Board. We're going to start with Carol. Ms. Sutton?
Yes, this is Ms. Sutton.
Yes, Ms. Sutton, could you just give us a brief 1 or 2 minutes on your background and your interest in serving on the Physical Therapist Licensing Board?
Yes, my name is Carol Sutton. I taught at the Tiger-Tualatin School District for 30 years, and I've substituted for the last 10 years there. I retired in 1997. Then at that time, got a job, not a job, but I signed a contract with the Construction Contractors Board to be an investigator for Washington and Columbia counties. Yeah. And it was during my time there that I realized how important it was to have the rules and statutes that helped people operate and protected the public and also protected the contractors and all stakeholders. And so when this opportunity arose to work for the Physical Therapist Board, I thought it would be a good service project for me and that I would be able to have some positive input with the board.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Sutton? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Sutton, I attempted to have an article emailed to you yesterday that was penned by the former chairman of the State Marine Board. Did you get a chance to look at the article?
I'm online right now. Let me double check that. It would have been from
Legislative Administration, from the committee administrator, and from my office. Yes.
Okay, I haven't read it. I just got it.
Okay. If you would, please, and you don't need to comment on it, obviously you haven't read it, please look at that in context with your obligation to represent the public interest on this board.
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
I will do that. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Ms. Sutton, for appearing here this morning. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mr. Costales, would you come forward? And I have to say, Mr. Costales, I'm a little bit surprised. It's a little bit different from your normal interests. If you could identify yourself for the record, and just so I think most people know you, but what your normal job is here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Troy Costales, and yes, normally I'm here at this table in this building representing the ODOT as the administrator of the Transportation Safety Division. But this morning I am here as a citizen of the state of Oregon, as I have also been over the last 10 years, spent 10 years on the Oregon Real Estate Board as a citizen, 2 years as vice chair, in order to carry out the duties of the citizen appointment to these committees. I take vacation or in this last year or so when available, use the furlough day to be able to do the work. All the communication with the individual agencies done through home, not through the office. Reason why I'm here from the citizen point of view, the link to this particular board is my wife experienced a bulging disc and went through physical therapy and also home treatment and was able to come through that particular injury without having to have surgery and continues to do those exercises in order to stay healthy and keep her back in shape. The other part I would share with you is because of my employment with the state and dealing with the responsibility of this particular board, I do not accept any of the honorarium. I only accept the travel expenses, meals or miles, as allowed by law. So there's no issue with any of the different versions of the ethical laws and things with funding and things that you have decided upon as a legislative body. In response to Mr. Ferrioli's email, I did receive that last night. I would respond saying that professionally I am responsible for three other governor-appointed committees and set that process up in a way that it is an open opportunity to share opinions, ideas, decisions, involve the citizenry, involve the expertise of those members that are on those committees. And now with this particular request for your support for this appointment, personally, for a second time, being able to give some of that back as well instead of just being on the receiving end on the professional side of my job. And we look forward to your support of my appointment to the board and be more than happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Any questions, Mr. Casale? Senator Ferrioli.
Yeah, one observation and then a question. The observation is, well, we've got ethics, and if you don't like those, we have other ethics. And you're no stranger to this process, Mr. Casale, Mr. Chairman. Have you ever been hauled into the governor's office and told how you'd conclude?
You can take the fifth if you want to.
Ms. Chair and Mr. Vice Chair, no, I've not.
You think that comports itself well with the idea of Oregon's heavy reliance on citizenry to do volunteer service on boards and commissions?
Mr. Vice Chair, the reason I'm here as a citizen is to be able to give that input as a citizen representative to the board in this position.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's my hope that every citizen comes to a board appointment with the idea that they'll use their independent judgment to make sure the best decisions are arrived at. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions?
No, Mr. Chair, but I do feel that Senator Atkinson and I should both declare potential conflicts of interest. We're both heavy consumers of physical therapy these days.
So is the chair, and I can't comment for my good colleague to my right here on the dais.
Three surgeries in 45 days this last couple of months, Mr. Chairman.
So. You have a very knowledgeable committee on this particular board.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Thank you very much for appearing here today.
Okay. I think that comments
Mr. Rudd?
The age of the board.
Mr. Rudd?
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the other members of the Senate Rules Committee. For 1 to 2 minutes, could you give us a brief overview of your background and your interest in this appointment?
Certainly, Senator. My name is Richard Rutt. I am the director of the School of Physical Therapy at Pacific University. I've been a physical therapist since 1982 and have been a faculty member with Pacific for the past 18 years and director of the program for the past 6 years. My interest in the position is I feel it's important that the school have a good understanding of the rules, regulations governing physical therapy, and that we take a real interest in protecting the public as well. So I think it's important that a representative from Pacific University and myself as a physical therapist to be on the Board of Physical Therapy.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Rutt? Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rudd, I attempted to have an article emailed to you yesterday. It was a guest editorial in the Oregonian. Did you by chance receive that article?
I'm not sure I have received that article. I haven't looked at my email last evening, so I'm not sure I did receive that.
Mr. Rudd, if you would check your email, that article, I believe it's quite instructive, and I just urge you to look for it, and if not, we'll certainly make sure that it was sent and received. Now, Mr. Chairman, this is a blow against social media. I mean, people are not checking their email in a timely manner. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Senator. I did receive the email but have not had the time to read that.
Okay.
Actually, Mr. Rudd, I wasn't referring to you particularly. Just just folks in general, you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any additional questions for Mr. Rupp? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to appear here today and to serve.
Thank you, Senator.
I will close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointments of Doug Crow and Lisa Nicholson to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. Mr. Crow?
Yes, sir.
Please identify yourself for the record and give us just a brief 1 or 2 minute overview of your background.
Thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. I'm Doug Crow. I live at 1500 State Road in Mosier, Oregon. And I'm interested in public service, and I think it's very important as part of our public employees policy and our legal system to give people a chance to appeal an action by a school district or other kind of education organization if they feel they've been unfairly dismissed. I'm a member of the Oregon Bar. I've served in various capacities as public member and public service, and this is something I'd like to do.
Senator Ferriero.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Crow is well known to me. He's an excellent, public-spirited, a strong-minded individual who's recently served on the Columbia River Gorge Commission, admirably and well, I might add.
Thank you.
Mr. Crow, did you get a chance to look at the article?
Absolutely.
You know, you have withstood some tremendous pressures from all sides. Have you ever had any public official coerce you into a...
Absolutely not. And Senator Ferrioli, we've had discussions, and we haven't always exactly agreed. And that's the way the system works. And, in fact, I would have told Mr. Carrier, thank you. I appreciate your views. You're welcome to come before whatever body it is and make your views known to the other members of the commission or the body, and we'll decide based on what our mandate is, what the law is. And if it's adjudication, that's one thing, like this fair dismissal board, that's one standard. And if it's a rulemaking, that may be another standard. But, you know, everybody's entitled to their view, but that's why you have these boards and these commissions to help the rulemaking and the legal process in the state and help you as legislators. So, I mean, I'm delighted to do it, but that's the way I view it. And you're right, I have been in the crosshairs many times.
And Mr. Chairman, the point of my questioning this morning, if it's escaped anybody's attention, is that there is a difference between serving at the governor's pleasure and doing the governor's bidding. And I think Mr. Crow has just exactly characterized what I expect from board members, and that is that they'll follow their own conscience and their own dictums, and if the governor doesn't like the decision, then his recourse comes after the decision, not before the decision.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I would hope that in the situation of a fair dismissal appeals board that there would be absolutely no interference. I mean, this is a judicial process, and I would be appalled if
Mr.
there was.
Mr. Crow, I think that would be the expectation of the position.
Thank you.
With your background, you would probably, obviously, if anyone attempted to do that, you would probably, obviously, bring that to the public record.
Absolutely.
And maybe even write an article for the Oregonian, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir.
On this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Crow.
Thank you, members of the committee. Thank you very much. Yeah.
The next party is going to be on the telephone.
Members of the committee?
Yes, Ms. Nicholson?
Yes.
Yes, please just identify yourself for the record and just give a brief 1 to 2 minute overview of your background and interest in the appointment.
Good morning. My name is Lisa Nicholson. I live at 504 Penn Avenue in LeGrand, Oregon. I am interested in serving on the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board, as I've had opportunities to work with teachers and administrators dealing with different issues. I am a reasonable and fair-minded individual who can work with others. I have taught school for over 20 years, and during that time I've had a leadership role in my local union as president, secretary, grievances, and bargaining chair people. I feel I would be a good candidate for this committee due to my experiences. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Nicholson? Senator Ferriero.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Nicholson, I sent an email yesterday regarding an op-ed piece in the Oregonian. Did you have a chance to see that email?
I briefly looked at it this morning.
Okay.
But I haven't read it completely.
Okay. Ms. Nicholson, I just urge you to read that in the context of your ability to serve as an independent thinker. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Ms. Nicholson. That, and I will close the public hearing. And I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Mary Olson to the Oregon Transportation Commission. Good morning. Ms. Olson, you've been here long enough to see what the routine is, so if you just identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. My name is Mary Olson. I'm the president of Norris Olson and Associates. We are financial advisors to private corporations. Prior to forming Norris Olson and Associates, I was with U.S. Bank for 20 years as a vice president of commercial lending. Since 2001, I have been a commissioner for the Port of Portland, and my interest in the transportation department is a continuation of what I have learned at the Port of Portland in terms of multimodal transportation. And I hope to bring to the Transportation Commission some financial background that can take that perspective on a huge budget and a very important role that they play in the state.
Questions from Ms. Olson. Senator Farioli, I don't even have to look to the right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I did get it.
You got the article.
I did.
Took a look at the article.
Did I did.
You? The Transportation Commission is one of those very high-profile commissions. Lots of political pressure there. You've had some experience in sort of being in the crosshairs, as one of our previous applicants mentioned. I just hope you're going to be able to use your own independent judgment, and if you disagree with some hireling or underling in the governor's office, that you'll have the strength of mind to make a good decision based on the facts and not based on the outcome desired by some bureaucrat somewhere.
I assure you I will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Atkinson,
you did a great job. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Any additional questions from Ms. Olson? If not, thank you very much for appearing here today.
Thank you, Senator.
I'll close that public hearing, and I will open a public hearing. I'm just going to jump by one. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Daniel Cote and Huma Pierce to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Are they both here, actually? Okay, Mr. Cote.
Chair Devlin. My name is Daniel Cote. I'm a chiropractic physician, and I live in Silverton and practice in Silverton, Oregon. And yes, I have read the article.
Yes. Can you explain your interest beyond your profession for serving?
I have always been a proponent of civil service and giving back. I have had previous experience on a disciplinary board for academic standards and professional conduct while in graduate school. And I have participated in some seat committees already with the Board of Chiropractic. On standard of practice and on the evaluation of a new format for jurisprudence exam. And I thought that I could give good input and good evaluation of the different cases submitted to the board.
Chair Denning?
Yes, Senator Atkinson.
Would you please call Representative Gilliam forward?
Yes.
Somewhat reluctant.
I think the Representative Gilliam wanted to appear for, I believe this, I don't know if he wants to appear for both or one of these. And actually, if he'd come to the chair, I probably would have changed the order. But if this seems like an inquisition, Representative Gilliam,
it is.
Was not my intent.
Could you please explain how the good doctor treated your painful bone spur?
There might be a HIPAA violation.
You say, Mr. Chairman.
Not if he self-discloses.
Vic Gilliam, State Representative, District 18. Yes, I am of the age that these maladies do appear. And this doctor, kind doctor, has treated me with a great deal of care, and I feel much better as a result of his care. But I'm here this morning to plead with you not to let my reputation in any way affect his appointment to this board.
It's very hard for me to trust either of you with the phrase strudel booth listed as your volunteer activities together.
Senator, with respect,
please.
Have you had the strudel?
No, I have not. One serious question.
Yes.
Thank you very much. This seat on this board several years ago was fairly controversial with regards to a split between chiropractors and chiropractic care. Could you give us your thoughts on that split and how you see your position on this board, either representing one of the two sides or bringing the two sides together? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Slightly. I know that there was two different distinctive chiropractic association in the past. They have come together in one chiropractic association, which I was a proponent of all the way along, as I feel that one voice, even though some of our own personal philosophy of practice might be slightly different, that unity is a much better representation. As far as my appointment on this board, I don't believe this to be political, as it is more a protection to the public, but also to the other chiropractors that do behave in a proper fashion, as any misbehavior from one member of the group creates a bad image, possibly, on the rest of them. So, yeah, that would be my
version
of it.
Okay. Any additional questions for Mr. Cote? Senator Farioli?
First of all, to Representative Gilliam, a wise pleading. Yeah, exactly. And Dr. Cote, as with any medical oversight board, I would expect that you would use your knowledge, skill, and ability and independent judgment and be resistant to any coercive influence by bureaucrats or others.
Or representatives.
And yes, in present company particularly. So you did read the article?
Yes, I did, actually. And I'd never heard of this decision or process prior to, actually, I'd never even heard of the lake before, so I went and researched it a little bit online, and it is a beautiful lake.
It is.
And it seemed to be a controversial issue that had festered for quite a few years.
Yes.
And so, just to give you an idea of what my thought process was when I got this, is that I went and started to research further in order to try to form an opinion, which I still haven't formed on what exactly the decision should have been. But I do agree that the independent thinking of board members in such cases should be free of such pressure.
Mr. Chairman, I just heard the nominee discuss due diligence and due process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you very much. You can stay at the dais because I think they want to keep Representative Gilliam there for a few more moments. Unless you have to leave Representative Gilliam.
He doesn't.
That's your pleasure, Senator, but I need to get to committee if it's
yes,
okay.
Representative Gilliam, it's been a pleasure to have you here this morning. I apologize for any inconvenience or any lack of comfort in your testimony.
My pleasure.
It made me uncomfortable, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We're going to go to Ms. Pierce. Ms. Pierce, if you'd please identify yourself for the record, and please talk about your interest and background for 1 to 2 minutes. So.
Honorable Chair, Senator Devlin, and the committee, my name's Dr. Homa Pierce. I've been a chiropractor for 8 years here in Oregon. I went to school in New York at New York Chiropractic College. I was a naval officer prior to that for 6 years with the Canadian Navy and translated 5 languages in the Gulf. As an independent thinker, I would say I would probably be the epitome of that. I think that what I would bring to the board would be a steady hand. I would make some pretty good decisions under pressure and be able to distinguish between what would be right for chiropractic and the chiropractic board and, of course, the users of chiropractic.
Okay. Questions for Ms. Pierce? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see that you are aspiring to become the chiropractor for the U.S. Olympic team in 2012 and that you are currently the becoming the chiropractor for the Trailblazers.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. That's noble aspirations. You had an opportunity to read the article.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you also mentioned independent thinking. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I just think it's critically important that we recognize that in every one of these boards, whether these folks are doing medical oversight or oversight of natural resources, that they should be free of coercive behavior from bureaucracy in this building. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any closing comments you wanted to make?
At this time, Oregon's given me everything, sir. Oregon's given me a life, given me a family, and chiropractic. And my son was actually adjusted in the emergency room after he was born. And if he hadn't been, he would have died. So chiropractic has given me everything. So thank you for this opportunity.
Okay. Thank you for your willingness to serve. That I will close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Michael Pollock to the State Apprenticeship and Training Council. Mr. Pollock. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Michael Pollock. I'm the Director of Training for the Plumber and Steam Fitters Union. We cover most of the state of Oregon. I have 3 sets of standards in Washington, Oregon, and California. I've been working in apprenticeship for about 20 years as an instructor and now as a director. I strongly believe in apprenticeship and feel I could do a good job in this committee. I did read Senator Farioli's article that he sent in the email, and any decision that I would make would be based on the good of apprenticeship and not anyone else's opinion. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for appearing here this morning. Let me see if there are any questions. Seeing none, again, thank you for your willingness to serve and look forward to your service on the board.
Thank you.
And I will close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Elizabeth Hartshorn and Suzanne Turley to the Board of Licensed Counselors and Therapists. Ms. Hartshorn, if you would just please identify yourself for the record and talk for 1 to 2 minutes about your background and interest.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Hartshorn. I live in Salem, Oregon. Proprietor of Full Circle Counseling and Consulting. I contract with Department of Corrections, Coffee Creek Correctional Facility. And I also spent 10 years in the school district as a school counselor. I'm excited and very passionate to be on the board for counselors. My main agenda is to provide the best care possible for our community and our citizens. And I believe that my role on the board is to protect the safety of my fellow citizens.
Okay. Any questions? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wondered if you had a chance to read the article.
I did, sir.
Okay, and I hope you'll just put that in the context of the necessity of somebody in a counseling and therapy role to exercise independent judgment free of undue coercive influence. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much for your willingness to appear. We will now go to Ms. Turley, who I believe will be on the phone. Hello, Ms. Turley?
Yes.
If you would please identify yourself for the record and speak for 1 to 2 minutes about your interest and background in the Board of Licensed Counselors and Therapists.
Yes, thank you. I'd be glad to do that. My name is Susan Turley. I live at 16720 Southwest Monterey Lane, and that's in King City. I'm interested in the board because I believe that it's important for all people to give back to their community and to the people that serve us. I've been on several, as far as my qualifications, I've been on several state boards as well as national boards, and I believe that you have my resume there to see which ones. I was very active in the Board of Licensed Social Workers and went on to go to the National Association of Social Work Boards. But I believe that it's really important to have a consumer or a member of the public on all of the boards, and the reason I believe that is that I think we're the ones that ask the extra question, I guess, if you put it that way, which is, if I was getting this service, what would I want as a consumer? And that's how I approach any board that I've been appointed to, is from the consumer, as a consumer advocate, but also staying within all of the rules and regulations and statutes that are in order. Okay. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions, Senator Farioli?
Mr. Chairman, I noticed that Ms. Turley is a former mayor pro tem of the city of LeGrand and a former city councilor and mayor of the city of LeGrand. And
That's correct. I'm currently the council president here in King City also.
Yes, and also has experience at Eastern Oregon University.
Yes.
Ma'am, did you have a chance to read an email that was sent to you regarding...
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact, regarding the Marine Board.
Right. Have you formed any opinion about that article?
Well, of course, not exactly about the article itself, because I don't have enough information about it, but I think the question is, what does it mean to serve at the pleasure of the governor? And, of course, I've been on several boards, so I know that that's a possibility, but I feel like my position as a board member is to do what is best for the constituents that we serve, and of course, we want to try to keep our governor and, of course, people like you very, very happy. But I believe that actually is secondary to the purpose of a board.
Mr. Chairman, I agree wholeheartedly with the applicant. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay. Any additional questions for Ms. Turley? Not. Thank you very much for your interest in serving, and we will take action a little bit later this morning.
All right. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I will close that public hearing. And I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Rick Shai Dacre to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board.
Good morning. Chair Devlin, my name is Rick Shai Dacre. I live at 4143 Hampshire Lane in Eugene, Oregon. I'm currently employed for the Oregon School Employees Association and have been for about the last 19 years. My interest really is to do whatever I can to help continue the creation of the most cost-effective and efficient insurance benefit program that we can. And that's really my main interest.
Any questions? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I note that you are in the role of representing district employees from the second largest labor organization representing district employees.
That's correct.
Did you have an opportunity to read the article that was distributed?
I did.
Would you care to comment on that in any way?
Sure. I think the appointment and participation on the board is just what it is. That's your responsibility. Obviously, I have employers, I have members, lots of people who will give me input, but ultimately it's my responsibility to make the best decision I can for the appointment that I have.
And, Mr. Chairman, I just know that every person on this dais understands and appreciates the service that we receive from volunteers to our boards and commissions. It's a tough job. We just couldn't do what we do without your help. So thank you very much.
Any additional questions? Seeing none. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
I will close that public hearing, opening a public hearing on the appointment of Lawrence Betcher and James Tyack to the Oregon Health Services Commission.
I think he just made the newsletter with the pictures.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name's Lawrence Betcher, and I reside at 13278 Vermeer Drive in Lake Oswego, and I'm proudly represented by Senator Devlin. I received my MSW in 1993 and have been licensed as a clinical social worker since 1996 and certified as an alcohol and drug counselor since 2003. For the last 17 years, I've worked in inpatient and outpatient mental health, and I'm currently working for Providence Portland Medical Center as the team lead for the PSRB program. I'm also president of the National Association of Social Workers, Oregon Chapter, and I'm running for the national board. The position on the Health Services Commission is for a social services worker, which I am. I believe I bring a strong voice representing those who have a mental illness or an addiction. Prioritizing OHP diagnoses is not the most exciting task, but it's one that I'm qualified for and one that I believe is quite critical given the limited funds available for the Oregon Health Plan.
Question. Senator Perioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good luck with that national office.
Oh, thank you.
That's quite an honor to be the Oregon president, let alone take a shot at the national office. My only question, Mr. Chair, is in the context of the article, did you have a chance to read that over?
As of 5:15 last night, I had not received it.
Do you feel you're able to exercise independent judgment and resist influence from various quarters?
I think so. I'm an independent thinker. I would also question the Oregonian's article in terms of, you know, are both sides represented there? I'm certainly critical of what I read in the media and things that I hear. I don't like to be told what to do by anybody in particular, and I don't have a problem calling and consulting. That's what we do in mental health. Is if we have if we're being pressured, we call somebody and say, you know, is this really right? Is this the way it's supposed to work?
Mr. Chairman, that shows a healthy skepticism of authority. So I appreciate that very much.
Okay. Any additional questions? Thank you very much for being here this morning, and thank you for the kind comment when you started.
Thank you.
Mr. Tyack?
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with members of the Rules Committee. If you would just state your name for the record and give us 1 to 2 minutes on your background and interest in this appointment.
Okay. Well, good morning, Chair Devlin, members of the committee, Vice Chair Ferrioli, Senator Burdick, Senator Atkinson, Senator Metzger. It's my pleasure and honor to meet you today. For the record, my name is James Hal Tyack. My address is 29611 Old Rainier Road, Rainier, Oregon, 97048. My mailing address is P.O. Box 749, Kalaskanai, Oregon, 97016. As health commissioner, I would be representing the Oregon dental profession and the interests of Oregon Health Plan participants. I'm interested in this position because I believe my 34 years of experience as a dentist, 15 years of experience treating Oregon Health Plan patients, and experience as owner-operator of two large dental practices will benefit the Health Services Commission. I'm also interested in this commission as it affords me the opportunity to get back to my profession and state. Thanks for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Ferrioli.
Dr. Tyack, did you have an opportunity to look at an email that I caused to be sent to your office?
Pardon me now?
Dr. Tyack, this is Senator Ferrioli.
Yes.
Yesterday I attempted to send an email to your office that contained an opinion piece that was written and published yesterday in the Oregonian. Did you have a chance to look at that article?
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't see that email. I've actually gone through all my emails.
Well, Doctor, we'll resend it, but thank you very much, and I just would urge you to read that in the context of maintaining an independent approach to discharging the duties of the office that you're about to take.
Yes, I will. I will read that carefully and respond after I read it.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you for listening to me, and look forward to working with the commission.
Close that public hearing. And also at this time, I apologize to those members of the audience who have been waiting here for things that are down the agenda, but SGR 41 and SB 998 will not have public hearings today and will be rescheduled for Thursday. Okay. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointments of Maria Pope to the OHSU Board of Directors.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee.
Please proceed. Identify yourself for the record.
I'm Maria Pope, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm the Chief Financial Officer at Portland General Electric, the state's largest utility. I've also been a senior officer at two different Oregon industries, high technology, software development, as well as forest products. I'm a member of the OHSU Foundation Board, and I'm the lead director of Primera Blue Cross, a $3 billion healthcare company based in the state of Washington, which is also the parent of LifeWise Oregon. I understand the current healthcare debate and the issues facing OHSU. I'm very interested in serving on the board at OHSU and contributing to the health and welfare of our state. I understand the challenges of balancing significant cost pressures, medical inflation, and the issues of providing broad access of quality care, particularly to those living in the rural parts of Oregon. These financial and access issues, combined with OHSU's mission to educate healthcare providers, as well as the contributions that the institution's leading-edge research brings to the region, make for an exciting and important opportunity critical to our state and the next generation. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today.
Questions? Senator Perioli, Senator Metzger.
I'll defer to Senator Metzger.
Thank you, and thank you for your willingness to serve, Ms. Pope. I had just a couple of questions. This is one of our more high-profile boards and certainly a huge economic organization for our state, as well as the services, as you articulated, that OHSU provides. But as a member of the board, you're bringing a long career of financial background to it, which certainly is a positive thing for OHSU. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about, in terms of your philosophy as a board member, as I always remind folks, and you're well aware, having served on them, the board is the boss, not the management. It's easy to always go into a board meeting and have management give you the packets and, you know, and just have you rubber stamp things and not question how this moves with the vision. And I've always believed that the best board members are the ones who set that vision and see that the sideboards that the board has put for management, that they're in operating within that corral and which, and also with the benchmarks. What we have here with this public corporation, kind of like with SAFE, is we have this kind of interesting marriage between the entrepreneurship of OHSU, which was which they requested in the mid-90s, and still receiving state support for programs that we think are important. You know, helping the disadvantaged school of nursing and others. Mm-hmm. And in a number of instances over the last few years, we have found, especially as these times move with the economy, we have difficult times in which the management of OHSU has kind of come to a, you know, kind of at least a fist-to-fist discussion about how those funds are spent, because they go in one big general fund. And so as the university has been ambitious on its growth and its physical plant, when things have been tough, the legislature, we start getting calls about, well, we've decided we can't spend as much money on the School of Nursing, or we have to close down more care for poor and disadvantaged people. And unless we get more money from the legislature, even though the decision-making at the management has been to continue to build physical facilities and do other things, And you know, it kind of reminds me of the high school time where you go out for the ballot and say, well, we're going to have to cut sports, and well, we can't cut sports. So I guess my first question to you on that is what you see as your role in terms of overlooking at the overall mission of OHSU in terms of overseeing management decision-making process of how those, you know, very, very important funds are allocated.
Sure. Well, OHSU has three distinct missions. One is to serve the population of the state with broad access to health care that cannot, particularly that cannot be achieved through other hospitals. The second is to educate future doctors and medical providers, and then the third is for cutting-edge research. In today's healthcare environment with escalating costs, being able to balance the budget has been a real challenge, and they've probably had to take severe budget cuts, as we've all read in the paper and are well aware of. Prior to that, there was a significant amount of building, which did allow for a number of scientific and technical-oriented researchers to join the university and contribute in that way. So I think really, as a board member, I would focus on trying to balance the long-term goals for the institution, the service to the state, and the institution's financial well-being.
One follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And I appreciate that answer. That's excellent. Because with those different missions, both this legislature and you as a board member are asked to evaluate requests for investment by that general fund. And it was just a few short years ago that the legislature was asked and did provide financial assistance based on an analysis by OHSU that we could grow nanotechnology in Portland and increase jobs. And as you probably are aware, in some of the subsequent reports, we apparently have increased those jobs in South Florida. They did not mature here, but actually we took the investment and a lot of that technology with the help of our dollars is being used in Florida. I understand they feel that, you know, because of the intellectual property, there may be a payback, but the people aren't the jobs here that we had originally thought. So I just think that in both our cases, legislatures and yours, as different things come down the pike, is to evaluate that with your keen sense of finance and balance, and welcome you to the board.
Thank you.
Additional questions?
Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pope, you come very highly recommended and very highly qualified, and I appreciate your willingness to serve on in any capacity with the state of Oregon. I see that you have a forestry manufacturing background as well. I think that is a tremendous asset, and I see that you're highly recommended by a member of the panel here. Did you have an opportunity to read the article that was distributed?
Yes, I did.
You know, I just wonder whether or not the ability for Oregon to attract very highly qualified volunteers isn't negatively affected when middle managers and bureaucrats insert themselves into the decision-making process.
You know, I think feeling pressure from whether it's legislators or bureaucrats or special interest groups is actually fairly common for senior officers or board members of institutions, and is something that I'm certainly used to and weigh seriously, as well as I do all other factors. And then also senior officers and board members are also used to issues being presented with a certain light in the Oregonian and in other press, and also read those carefully, but sometimes skeptically as well.
And Mr. Chairman, I agree it's usual to be in that kind of pressure situation. What I found was extraordinary was that before a public process, people were demanding an outcome. And just for the record, Mr. Chairman, I met with the former chairman of the Marine Board and heard the story personally from him. And so I don't have the filter of the Oregonian to blame for this, but I just wondered if it's in your experience that people come to you on pain of dismissal and demand an outcome.
I've never had such a circumstance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I've got lots of questions down here. Senator Atkinson motioned this way. That means he's deferring to Senator Burdick.
The wise choice.
OHSU's senator. Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I am the proud senator that represents OHSU, and as a very recent patient up there, I'm even prouder than I was before, if that's possible. In the paper today, there was a very glowing article about the success of the Oregon Opportunity and how it has drawn private money into the Oregon Opportunity mission. And as a former foundation board member, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on how the board and the foundation board can kind of develop a joint mission to keep this process going.
So, Senator Berg, I think you're absolutely correct, and I believe that the number quoted in the paper was in excess of $370 million that has been brought to the state from outside as a result of the $200 million funding that came from this organization in the early part of the decade. I think it's very important not only for biotechnology and scientific development in that area, but if you look at what's also happened with the Knight Foundation, with additional grant monies that have come through the foundation to support scientific research as well as medical education, it's been a huge contributor to the state, not only economically, but in attracting and retaining some of the more interesting citizens who are developing cutting-edge research and creating a medical science that we are all benefiting from.
Thank you. And just a comment, Mr. Chair, I just think that OHSU is such, aside from all the technical expertise and the medical breakthroughs that we find coming from there and the high level of patient treatment, is also a very important economic engine as we struggle our way through this economy. And I think it's a gem in any number of respects, but now when the economy is struggling the way it is, the economic engine is very, very important for Portland and all of Oregon and the rural areas as well. So thank you, and thank you for being willing to serve. It's a lot of work.
Okay. Yes, Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being here today. And I just whispered to my favorite colleague on my left that it's my goal someday to serve on this board. So I am, as far as Oregon Health Sciences goes, I'm vested for a whole variety of reasons. I want to encourage you as a board member two things that I feel very strongly about. Number one is that the emphasis on research. I think research here was a push in the world of Oregon politics about 5 years ago, and then it kind of went away. And I don't want that emphasis to be lost at Oregon Health Sciences for two reasons. Number one is I think that we are the premier research institution, and number two is there's a we can speak at great length about the economic drivers that happens when public universities invest in research. So I'd really like to encourage you that, and especially with everything that's happening. The more important thing I want to encourage the board to do while I have just a moment is this. Things are happening at the university, as you're well aware, with partnerships between our Oregon Health Sciences and other states, namely Alaska, some other more rural states that are underserved, and that we have the benefits. Certainly the things we did in telehealth last session that took some time were all pioneered from Oregon Health Sciences. I would encourage the board, if I could, through your appointment, to do the following. Number one, promote Oregon Health Sciences to the greater community of Oregon. We get lost a lot when we think of Oregon Health Sciences as a Portland-only emphasis, and we don't necessarily build upon the reputation that KCI Institute has, the NICU has, the cancer treatment that we have. And I don't know, and I don't believe, that word has been spread throughout all of rural Oregon, that there's options that are of a world-class nature here in Portland. Especially as we look at Southern Oregon and Eastern Oregon, using the university as a hub for greater service. And so if that's a branding campaign or a marketing campaign or an outreach to the other health systems that we have, I would really encourage us to do that. I'm
I'm a huge advocate and bragger of our university system, and I think that we should do a better job of branding not only to Alaska, but to rural Oregon. I think that's critical.
Yes, I would agree.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Senator Fairy.
Ma'am, the Office of Rural Health is housed at OHSU, mm-hmm. and the area hospital education consortium provides a continuous connection between area hospitals for residencies in rural communities. We simply couldn't operate the rural hospital network without OHSU's close cooperation. So just a couple of things. You know, OHSU means something to every person in every community in Oregon. So good luck on that board. I think you'll do marvelously well.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Well, I will close that public hearing. And we will
That's a big win.
I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Andrea Cano to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Hello, Ms. Cano.
Yes, good morning. Is it Chair Devlin?
Yes, I'm here with the other members of the Rules Committee. Could you please just give us 1 to 2 minutes on your background or an interest in the Commission on Hispanic Affairs?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Andrea Cano, and I reside at 1916 Northeast Morgan Street, Portland, Oregon, 97211. My appointment is for the State of Oregon's Commission on Hispanic Affairs, and I welcome this timely opportunity to serve the state and its people in this capacity because I believe in the Commission's mandate to work towards the economic, social, political, and legal equality for Oregon's growing Hispanic population. And as you know, it does so by monitoring existing programs and legislation designed to meet the needs of the Hispanic population, identifying and researching areas and issues affecting our community, and recommend actions to the governor and the legislative assembly, maintaining liaison between the Hispanic community and government entities, and encouraging Hispanic representation on state boards and commissions. I am confident that the breadth of my background and my experience best be served on this particular commission, whose illustrious members are men and women, who you may know, of such integrity and wisdom and conviction with whom it would be an honor to serve. You have my background before you. It is pretty extensive in accompanying people from the diversity and the range of the Latino community in this state. I have lived outside of the country. I have understood many of the cultures that many of the folks come from. And I have been very much well-versed in their lives and their exceedingly incredible journeys to be here in Oregon and also the independent resident community that's been here for generations. So, Chair Devlin and members of the committee, I welcome your thoughtful consideration and affirmation of my appointment, and I thank you for the time to testify before you today. Sorry, I'm not there in person, and I would be happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Connell. Questions, Senator Farioli?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Connell, I attempted to have an email article from the Oregonian sent to you yesterday. Did you happen to receive it, and if you have, did you have a chance to review it?
I reviewed a bit of it. I don't have a real... answer to that, my understanding that, and I could be wrong, that this was an employee of the state of Oregon, not the commission member?
Actually, it was the chair of the commission on the Marine Board commissioner. He was the chair of the commission.
I thought he was the director.
Well, then I stand corrected.
In any case, ma'am, the... if you just review the article in the context of being an independent thinker, that would achieve my objective.
Oh, certainly. Well, I plan to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anything additional? Thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later this morning.
Thank you so much.
I will close that public hearing, and I'm opening a public hearing on the appointments of Mark King and Joseph Lowe to the Home Care Commission. Okay. And for anyone in the audience that is waiting for the work session on 10:14, that will not occur today either. Okay. Mr. Lowe?
Yes.
If you could just please identify yourself for the record and just take the next 1 to 2 minutes to indicate your interest in serving on the Home Care Commission.
My name is Joseph Lowe, and I live in Sandy, Oregon, and I'm interested in joining the Home Care Commission because I am physically disabled and I benefit from in-home services. I have a move-in caregiver, so I feel that I would be very vital in looking at it from a client perspective plus the caregiver perspective as we discuss issues and advocate for services. And I'm also on other committees that serve the community and advocate for equal rights and any issues or services that people with disabilities may need in the Clackamas County area.
Yeah. Questions for Mr. Love? Yes, Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Lowe, are you prepared to be a strong, independent advocate for the recipients of in-home care and their caregivers?
Yes, I feel that I would be a very strong advocate for this. I've been physically disabled from birth, and so to an extent I've had to advocate for my own services all my life anyway. And I just feel that, you know, there are people out there that definitely need a voice, and either they don't have the ability to do so, and I would be would very well be interested in standing in the gap for those citizens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions? Have to be me. with that, thank you very much, Mr. Lowe, for your interest, and we will return to your appointment a little bit later this morning.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Mr. King, welcome, and if you could indicate your name for the record and just indicate your interest in serving on the Home Care Commission in the next 1 to 2 minutes.
Jennifer Devlin. Member of the committee. I would like, my name is Mark King. I live at 15714 Middle Street, Portland, Oregon.
Please take your time.
I'm nominated for Home Care Worker Commission. I would like to kind of give back what I've used throughout my life. I've been disabled for 30 years. I think I might have some helpful insight for the care workers and protection of rights and so on. If you have any questions, I will love to answer them.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. King. Senator Farrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. King, are you prepared to be a strong advocate with an independent advocacy for folks needing home health care and their caregivers?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Seeing no one else here to ask any questions, thank you very much for coming here today, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you for letting me testify.
I will close that public hearing, open a public hearing on the appointment of Nicole King Deering to the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators. Yes, please identify yourself for the record and give 1 to 2 minutes about your interest. And even though we do not have a quorum of the committee, we are permitted to conduct hearings with less than a quorum.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Devlin and Vice Chair Ferrioli. My name is Nicole King Deering, and I'm I live in Tualatin. I apologize for my voice. I woke up with a froggy voice this morning. I am interested in serving as the pharmacist position on the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators. I've always been interested in the care of the geriatric patient, especially those residing in long-term care facilities. I currently work as a consultant pharmacist where I review the medication regimens of residents in nursing facilities and in community-based care facilities. I interact with members of the interdisciplinary team at nursing facilities, including nursing home administrators. I feel that this experience would be useful and add to my experience to serve on this board. Additionally, I worked for the Board of Pharmacy as a healthcare investigator for 3 years, investigating consumer complaints and helping work on rule writing with that process. And so I do understand the administrative rule review and law process. So I thank you for the opportunity for me to testify before you today. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions, Senator Ferrioli?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Deering, you are quite highly qualified, and we're, I think, lucky to have you be willing to be available to us to serve on this board. Did you happen to have an opportunity to read the article that I've been circulating?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And I see by some of the positions that you've held in the past as a director of consulting services and a consulting pharmacist, you probably are no stranger to differences of opinion about the approach to nursing home care and other areas of pharmacological services.
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared to be an independent voice for the high-quality care and the advocacy that's needed? Are you able and willing to hold folks accountable in this board?
Definitely.
Okay. And, you know, at least in the circumstance with the Marine Board, there appeared to be some rather coercive influence exerted over the chairman of that board, and I wondered how you might react, or have you given any thought to how you might react if somebody approached you in that way?
I would listen, hear the person out, but ultimately it would be my opinion and my own decision to make in making a decision on a particular subject at hand.
Mr. Chairman, in fact, we absolutely rely on that independence of thinking for the quality of care. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything that you would like to add?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much for appearing here today, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Trish Smith to the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability.
What? She's not here? She's here every day.
Yes, Ms. Smith?
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with Senator Ferrioli, and for some reason the rest of my committee is absent, but we can actually still conduct a public hearing without a quorum. If you would just state your name for the record and just 1 to 2 minutes on your interest in serving.
Thank you, Chairman Devlin and Vice Chairman Ferrioli. My name is Patricia Smith. I live in Bend, Oregon with my husband, Bill. We've lived here for the past 40 years, and our 2 grown children and 5 grandchildren also live here in Bend, where it's almost sunny today, but not quite. I guess we don't have a Chamber of Commerce day today. As you can see from my resume, I've had the distinct privilege of participating in citizen government here in Oregon since the early 1980s. I began with Oregon Public Broadcasting, continued on the Governance Board of Oregon Health and Sciences University, followed by service on OWEB, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which continues, And finally, the Oregon Medical Board. I officially term limit off the OMB on February 28th of this month. Each experience has been an honor, an education, and an opportunity to offer my own perspective, as well as the perspectives of Central Oregon and the public in general. My board appointments have been generally as a public that is non-professional member, and I believe that I offer a balanced viewpoint. I look forward to the opportunity of serving Oregon once again as a member of the Oregon Judicial Fitness Board, and I'd be happy to take any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Senator Farioli, do you have a question?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Smith, I attempted to have an article from the Oregonian sent to you yesterday. Did you receive that by email and have a chance to review it?
No, I didn't. I didn't look at my email this morning. I apologize. No.
Okay. Ms. Smith, the article describes the removal of the chairman of the board of the Marine Board. And it describes a dispute involving this particular board member being ordered to conclude in a particular way prior to the public hearings. Without having an opportunity to read the article, I won't ask you to comment, but I will ask you to go back and look at that article with in the context of your duty to your fellow Oregonians and your ability to be an independent thinker. And I discern from your resume that that's part of your background.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith, for your long record and your continued willingness to serve.
It's my privilege. Thank you for the
Thank
work
you.
That you all do.
I'm opening a public hearing on the appointments of Benjamin Sunnady and Max Tenshare to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Mr. Sunnady?
Yeah, Mr. Swaite. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay. Apologize for that pronunciation then.
Not at all.
If you could please state your name for the record, give us 1 to 2 minutes about your background and your interest in serving on the Oregon State Board of Nursing.
Absolutely. My full name is Benjamin Nassim Swaite. I was raised in New York, and I first moved to Oregon in 2002, where I came to work for Ninth Circuit Judge Susan Graber. I was here for 2 years. I moved back east. I returned to Oregon in 2007 because I realized I knew of no better place to live, and I wanted to settle down. And I'm very glad and proud to be in Oregon. My interest in the Board of Nursing comes from both places. I have a strong desire to start serving here. I came here to become a part of a community. Good opportunity. I have a strong interest in public health, and I have a lot of interest and respect for the work that the board does. It's obviously a great honor to be appointed, though it's also a great responsibility. I think the board has a dual role. It's obviously to protect public safety, but also to ensure that the licensees are assured that when they enter into the practice of nursing in Oregon, that they're going to be treated fairly and with respect. And I think that's the only way that you can attract and retain quality of providers that work deserves. So I think it's an incredibly important, I think it's a difficult role to both make sure that the public is being protected, but also that nursing. I hope for the opportunity to participate in.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions, Senator Farioli?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think we're very fortunate to have Mr. Swaite as an applicant here. His background includes a JD from Harvard Law School, and he's a former speechwriter for Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, fairly recently, as a matter of fact. Mr. Swaite, I sent an article by email. Did you have an opportunity to look over an op-ed piece from the Oregonian from yesterday? I'd really be interested in your take on the coercive nature of what was disclosed in that article and whether or not you thought that comports with Oregon's need to have highly qualified volunteers serve on our boards and commissions.
Well, Senator, I will say that, first of all, of course, I know only what I read in the article and or in the op-ed, and I have no way of knowing, you know, the extent to which that is the full story or the only story or the truthful story. It may very well be. What I can say is that if we were to presume that everything in the op-ed were true, then what I would tell you is that I see the volunteer service in Oregon as an enormous opportunity and a great responsibility, and that opportunity and that responsibility flows to the state, to the citizenry. I'm deeply humbled and grateful to the governor for the appointment, and I hope to live up to his expectations. But that said, my service is not to him personally, but to the people, and I hope and I trust that the reason I was appointed is because the governor has faith in my intellect and judgment and sense of duty, and I'm going to follow those. And if that runs in some scenario, and I can't imagine what such a scenario would be, if that would fly in the face of some kind of coercive or political pressure, then I can assure you that I would follow what I thought to be in the best interests of the state, not any particular agenda.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Swades just described integrity. Thank you.
Okay. Any additional questions for Mr. Swade? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to appear here today and your willingness to serve.
I thank the committee very much.
Mr. Tenchair? Mr. Tenchair?
Chairman Devlin, members of the committee, can you hear me all right?
Yes, if you could identify yourself for the record and speak for 1 to 2 minutes on your background and interest in serving.
I would be happy to. My name is Max Tenchair. My address is 1340 Dollar Street in West Lynn, Oregon. I'm a family nurse practitioner. Oregon has a national reputation for the high quality of its nursing law and the practice of its nurses. In this challenging time for healthcare, I believe it's vital for nursing to make its contribution to solutions. By serving on the board, I would like to participate in this process and help to assure that the individuals who practice nursing provide safe and effective care to the people of Oregon. I believe I can bring both extensive primary care experience in nursing and also business experience to the board, along with an interest in communication and an enthusiasm for the process. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning and would entertain any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Tenchair? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Tenchair, I attempted to send an article to you that had appeared in the Oregonian yesterday via email. Did you receive the article, and have you had a chance to read it?
Chairman Devlin and Vice Chair Farioli, I received actually 2 emails of the article, and I did review it.
Okay, and I guess I would just ask you, this is such an important board, and we're really relying on the appointees to the Board of Nursing to exercise independent judgment with a high degree of integrity. Would you care to comment on your attitude toward that service?
High integrity has actually been the foundation of my practice and is actually the guiding principle in my business. And in serving on the board, I would like to bring that same level of integrity to that process.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to appear here today and your willingness to serve the citizens of the state of Oregon.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
I'm closing that public hearing and opening a public hearing on the appointment of Christina Meyerhoff to the Outdoor Youth Program Advisory Board.
And they do need to have, like,
Ms. Meyerhoff?
Yes, thank you.
Hi, this is Senator Devlin. If you would state your name for the record and speak for 1 to 2 minutes on your interest in serving and your background.
Okay.
My name is Christina Meyerhoff, and I live in Portland. I currently work at Oregon Episcopal School as the Director of Safety, and that position includes overseeing our outdoor program, which I previously directed. I have been involved with outdoor youth programming for more than 25 years in a variety of positions, including work with the Therapeutic Wilderness Program in New Mexico. I am very honored to serve on the Outdoor Youth Programs Advisory Board if I should have that opportunity. I feel that my experience as a wilderness leader and as an overseer of safety for outdoor programs will enable me to contribute to the work of this board. I hope that I can have this opportunity for public service to the state of Oregon. Do you have any questions?
Yes, we probably do. Thank you. Senator Farioli, do you have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Meyerhoff, I sent, tried at least to send an email article that had appeared in the Oregonian yesterday. Did you receive that article?
I did receive that, and I had a chance to read it this morning.
Okay. And I guess, Ms. Meyerhoff, all I would like you to do is try to put your service as a volunteer in Oregon in the context of an independent thinker.
I am happy to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anything additional? Seeing none. Thank you for appearing here this morning, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
I will close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Michael Mulvihill and Mary Alice Russell to the Quality Education Commission. Okay. Mr. Mulvihill?
Yes.
Ms. Mulvihill, if you'd state your name for the record and then speak for just 1 to 2 minutes about your interest in serving on the Quality Education Commission.
Okay, this is Mark Mulvihill. I'm the superintendent of the Umatilla-Morrow ESD, and I've always had an interest in the quality ed model in that it provides... Excuse me?
No, please go ahead.
Okay, in that it provides a template and a goal for us to shoot for in the state of Oregon. I think there's been a lot of really quality research in it. It's a document, however, that the people in the trenches have a tendency to forget due to funding. But nevertheless, it really provides a roadmap for where we need to be heading in the state of Oregon, and I would like to be a part of the commission to breathe some life into what is really a high-quality document for our state.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Mulvihill? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mulvihill, I tried to have emailed an article to you that appeared in the Oregonian yesterday. Did you receive the article?
Yes, I did, and I had the opportunity to read it.
Okay. It strikes me that if all the facts that are relayed by the former chairman of the Marine Board are as reported, that that's a pretty coercive relationship that developed, and he was actually ordered to conclude in a particular way prior to receiving public testimony and before public hearings. I wondered if you'd formed any opinion about that.
Excuse me, I didn't hear the end of the question.
I wondered if you'd formed any opinion about that, if all the facts were as reported.
Well, I try not to form an opinion too strongly when I don't have all the facts. And I've learned over the years that, reading a short media story on Oregon Live doesn't provide a full scope of what the situation is. So I would say I really don't have an opinion until I gather a lot more facts. But in your question, you asked if those facts were true. It's obviously troubling because you put together a commission such as ours, and the idea is to bring together talented people that are knowledgeable at the ground level to bring recommendations to the governor and to the legislature. So I thought the article was troubling if those facts are accurate, but I've also learned a long time ago that I don't jump to conclusions from one news story.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Mulvihill shows me a strong mind and a strong capacity for independent thinking, and that is exactly what we need on the Quality Education Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Atkinson.
Thank you. First of all, Doctor, congratulations on all of your recognitions, Oregon Administrator of the Year and District Administrator of the Year twice. That's very impressive. I wanted to ask you one question. You mentioned funding in passing about the quality education model, and sometimes, as you stated, the model gets put off because of funding concerns. In my experience, K through 12 education funding has gone up $1 billion in the last 10 years, and I would like you to comment on funding. Is funding the main problem that we face in Oregon's K through 12, and is funding your main emphasis as it relates to the quality education model?
There are several questions within that. Is Oregon, is funding the sole reason, sole problem or focus? It's obviously a major, major concern. I would say the biggest issue to me is the instability of our funding. If the budget were such, and you know, we could spend several hours on why this is, you know, I think we're both fully aware of why we are where we are. But it's the instability and the inability for districts to target in the long run, to develop 3, 5, 7 year plans for school improvement when the funding doesn't match some of those initiatives. As far as the work on the quality ed, though, I think the quality education model is something that really is separate from funding, and that it is designed to be a template of where we need to go. And you know, what I feel like I can bring to the group is somebody who has walked the walk in the trenches in the buildings for a lot of years, yet at the same time in my new capacity at ESD, I'm able to see things on a little bit of a broader scope, and ideas such as post-secondary education, how we can bridge the high school and put more rigor into the high school. I think that needs to be our top priority. We need to close the achievement gap. We have a lot of kids in the high school level not graduating. We have a lot of kids unprepared for the workforce. And we have to look at the resources that we have in front of us, which are abundant. We do have a lot of opportunities with the funding that we have if we had a better system in place and we had, ESDs, for example, being more relevant in bridging, online learning, bridging post-secondary, and focusing our reforms really at the high school level where we're struggling.
Thank you.
So I don't know if I answered all of your questions within that.
No, you did. Doctor, I would like to get together with you in the future, perhaps in the not-too-distant future, and discuss this a little further. But thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Absolutely. I'd be more than willing if you can have your assistant shoot me an email. I'm planning on coming down to Salem in the near future, so I would love to get together and talk about some of these ideas.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will now go to Mary Alice Russell, again for the Quality Education Commission. And committee members, we have 3 appointments after this. Okay, Ms. Russell?
Yes.
This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with the members of the Rules Committee. Could you state your name for the record and give us just 1 to 2 minutes on your background and interest in serving on the Quality Education Commission?
I'm Mary Alice Russell, the superintendent of McMinnville School District. In McMinnville, obviously. I'm very interested in serving on the commission because I believe the commission serves an important purpose to help further education. It provides not only an opportunity for people to have cost estimates about funding that is important for schools, but more importantly, a common definition and a common conversation regarding what kinds of programs, interventions, and student-to-teacher ratios we would hope to see in our elementary, middle, and high schools.
Okay. Questions for Ms. Russell. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Russell, I attempted to send an email article to you that was a reprint of an Oregonian op-ed that appeared yesterday. Did you receive that, and have you had a chance to look it over?
I
You know, the article that I received, and I'm assuming this is the one you're referring to, but it had something to do with the Marine Board, if that's the correct article you're referencing?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if you, you know, we really rely on folks to be fairly strong-minded and to be capable of independent thinking, and we also expect fairness and due process. I just hope those are the qualities you intend to bring to the Quality Education Commission.
I think those people who know me can tell you that I can bring those qualities to the commission, but I do think for myself, and I am not easily swayed, although I am definitely interested in listening to the opinions of others.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any additional questions?
I got one.
Yes, Senator Metzger.
Mary Alice, this is Rick Metzger. Did you succeed Morrell Potestio as principal at Orient Grade School?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Did you succeed Morrell Potestio as principal at Orient Grade School?
You know, I did go to Orient Elementary School, and I'm not sure. I think there was an administrator between, in fact, there was an administrator between he and I don't recall their names, but he definitely has an important legacy in the Orient district.
Okay. I was just curious. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve, and we'll take action on your appointment a little bit later this morning.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Close that public hearing. Open a public hearing on the appointment of Susan Pettit and Darlene Taylor to the Commission on Women. Okay. Ms. Pettit?
Good morning.
Good morning. If you would please just state your name for the record, give us 1 to 2 minutes on your background and interest in serving, and we'll see if there are any questions.
Great. My name is Sunny Pettit. I want to serve on the Oregon Commission for Women because I want to be the voice that breaks down barriers for women in Oregon. I am currently the director of programs for Oregon Center for Women Politics and Policy, a nonpartisan group at Portland State University. And in my past, I've worked in human trafficking as the director of programs in South Asia, in Nepal, Bangladesh, and India, working for legal rights and status for women who have been trafficked into the sex trade. I'm now back here and excited to start doing more work to get women into public service and also to start examining more research on women's rights in Oregon.
Okay. Questions for Ms. Pettit. Senator Farioli.
Ms. Pettit, this is Senator Farioli. I attempted to send by email an article that appeared in the Oregonian yesterday. Did you get that article?
I did.
Did you have a chance to review it?
I did.
Ms. Pettit, if somebody from an office in this building, a bureaucrat, came to you and insisted on a particular outcome, notwithstanding the public hearings process, even before the process, and insisted on the outcome at the potential cost of your job, how would you react to that?
I think that it would be something that I would probably not cave into. As a representative, I think that it would be something that I would be bringing to the table, and I would have to consider the consequences of potentially losing my job.
Mr. Chairman, we just highly prize independent thinkers, and that's why we ask folks to serve on these commissions, and this commission in particular would be one that I would expect folks to take an advocacy position and resist any coercive influence. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you, Ms. Pettit, for your willingness to serve. We will take action on your appointment a little bit later this morning.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Next is Ms. Taylor. Hi, Ms. Taylor.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. This is Senator Devlin. I'm here with some members of the Senate Rules Committee. If you would state your name for the record and for 1 to 2 minutes talk about your qualifications and interest in serving on this commission.
Yes, good morning, Honorable Chair Devlin and honorable members of the committee. My name is Darlene Taylor. I live in Medford, Oregon. I appreciate your time this morning. My qualifications include the list of information that you have there on my community service and volunteering. My interest, of course, is the interests of women in Oregon, and specifically Southern Oregon. I wanted to mention that I am an assistant scoutmaster, and my son happens to be an Eagle Scout, but when I took the advanced training, a wood badge, we talked about no trace camping. And part of that training involved you leave nothing behind except your footprints. And my granddaughter recently brought home homework regarding human carbon footprints, and we had a discussion about that. And I told her that when I was in school, we studied that, but it was dinosaurs that had made the carbon footprints. And I might just mention that my grandson, who is 10, he piped up and he said, "Mom, were you alive in the time of the dinosaurs?" And so we had a little discussion about how gentlemen don't discuss ladies' ages. However, my point in this is that we all leave a footprint. And I hope that I will leave a small carbon footprint, but I will be able to leave a large social service footprint.
Thank you very much, Ms. Taylor. Questions for Ms. Taylor, Senator Ferriola.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Taylor, I attempted to send an email to you about a reprint of an article that appeared in the Oregonian yesterday. Did you receive it, and had you had a chance to look at it?
Yes, I did receive that, and I read through that.
Ms. Taylor, I hope you can be an advocate who will be an independent thinker and someone who will resist the what some may consider to be very heavy political pressure to take particular positions maybe that differ from your own.
Oh, very much so. I research and I try to weigh both sides. And, you know, I have worked in a juvenile detention center for almost 5 years. You have to be impartial, you have to be objective, you have to, you know, be calm and research and try to come to an intelligent conclusion in that manner.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional? Seeing none, thank you very much for your willingness to appear and your willingness to serve.
Well, thank you very much for your time today and for your service as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Close that public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Gregory Eckel to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Mr. Eckel?
Yes, this is Dr. Eckel.
Yes, Dr. Eckel, if you could just please state your name for the record and speak for 1 to 2 minutes about your interest in serving on the Board of Naturopathic Examiners.
Well, thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. It's Dr. Gregory Eckel, and I'm nominated for the board of the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners. As a physician in the state of Oregon, I have been charged with serving patients, and I look forward to my time on the board. Serving the state of Oregon and the safety of the patients in Oregon as well.
Any questions for Dr. Eckel? Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Eckel, I attempted to send you a reprint of an article that appeared in the Oregonian yesterday. Did you receive it, and have you had a chance to review it?
I have not. I'm currently on vacation in Hawaii.
No.
I have been checking my emails, though. I did not receive that, though.
Dr. Eckel, we're all very envious of your trip to Hawaii. I hope you're enjoying that. It'll be waiting in your inbox when you come back to Oregon, and I'd like to just ask you to read that in the context of your ability to be an independent thinker and to resist a coercive or undue meddling by bureaucrats in this building. Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Dr. Eckel.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you, Dr. Eckel, for your interest in serving, and we will take action on your appointment a little bit later this morning.
All right, well, thank you all.
With that, I will close the public hearing. Is Senator Burdick close by?
Yes.
We have three.
Oh.
We have four.
What?
She's here. Come on, man.
Okay. Let's get started.
You missed the whole dinosaur part.
They were referring to a missing member of the Rules Committee.
Oh.
Well, I was not referring.
I am not missing, Mr. Chair. For the record, I am not missing.
Okay. I'm opening a work session moving the following appointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation to be confirmed en bloc. Michael Pollack to the State Apprenticeship and Training Council. Daniel Cote and Homa Pierce to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Elizabeth Hartshorn and Suzanne Turley to the Board of Licensed Counselors and Therapists. Rick Scheidecker to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board. Doug Crow and Lisa Nicholson to the Fair Dismissal Appeals Board. Maria Pope to the Oregon Health Sciences University Board of Directors. Lawrence Betcher and James Tyack to the Oregon Health Services Commission. Andre Cano to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Mark King and Joseph Lowe to the Home Care Commission. Trish Smith to the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. Greg Eckel to the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Nicole King Deering to the Board of Examiners and Nursing Home Administrators. Benjamin Swade and Max Tenshare to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. Christina Meyerhoff to the Oregon Outdoor Program Advisory Board. Troy Costales, Richard Rutt, and Carol Sutton to the Physical Therapist Licensing Board. Roger Carlson, Fran Furter, and James Hendry to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. Mark Mulvihill and Mary Alice Russell, Peter Tromba to the Quality Education Commission. Mary Olson to the Oregon Transportation Commission. Carol Whipple to the Water Resources Commission. Sonny Pettit and Darlene Taylor to the Commission for Women. Debbie Glass and Lori Luchak to the Workforce Investment Board. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I want to, for the record, enter the text of the oath of office that each one of these appointees will be asked to affirm when they're confirmed. I state your name. You solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Oregon, and the laws thereof, and that I'll faithfully discharge the duties of, state the Border Commission, according to the best of my ability. Mr. Chairman, I don't think that the expectations that we place on these volunteers can be adequately met when they face coercive intimidation from bureaucrats or middle managers or folks who speak with the color of authority of the governor. It's unconscionable. And, Mr. Chairman, I appreciated the responses that virtually every candidate for office brought today to the kind of information that was provided to them by the former Marine Board board member and chairman of the board. I just think it's incumbent on us to send the message very strongly that we support these volunteers in their work and that we do not take kindly to folks meddling with due process or independent thinking or allowing folks to serve faithfully and to discharge their duties according to the best of their ability, which should include the freedom from coercive behavior. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional comments? Well, in regard to my good colleague's comments, I have read the article. I also actually, when I read something in the media, always question potentially the accuracy of the article. But also, I think it is particularly troubling. But I would like to state for the record that the parties that are in question are not here to defend themselves. In that article, and there may be more information to this, but the article itself is quite troubling.
Mr. Chairman, I'd welcome an appearance before this committee by the parties in question.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything additional? Yes, Senator Metzger.
Well, I'll just make one observation. I don't disagree with anything that my colleague from John Day has said here today, but I would just add, in concert to that, that many members of various commissions, particularly some high-profile ones, may have experienced more meddling from legislators trying to predetermine outcomes, and that is equally incorrect for that to happen. So it's not just the executive branch, it's others meddling in the due process and trying to assert themselves. So we should all be cognizant of letting those people do their work.
Mr. Chairman, I just also had a factual thing. I think this, it sounded to me, and I did read the column when it actually came out in the Oregonian, it sounded to me like he was an employee, not a board member of the Marine Board.
I think Senator Farioli has actually confirmed who the party is that correct? And the fact that in a media article it might not be displayed exactly correctly does not surprise me.
Mr.
It might
Chairman,
surprise
I
me sometimes when a media article is accurate.
Because, Mr. Chair,
Mr. Chairman, I would never contest accuracy in the media with Senator Burdick.
Well, no, but it says he had a 32-year career at the Marine Board, and I've never heard of a board member having a 32-year career on any board.
Well, we can double the check.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any additional comments? Okay. Any objections to the appointments that are before us? Hearing none, so moved. We do have one more motion because we have some reappointments of the people we just appointed. I'm opening a work session moving the reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with a be confirmed en bloc recommendation. Mark King and Joseph Lowe to the Home Care Commission, Susan Turley to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Senator Burdick, will you carry the new appointments? And Senator Atkinson, will you carry the reappointments? Okay. Committee members, that will conclude our work for today. We will be here Thursday. We will only conduct 1 hour, actually, on executive appointments, and we will go to some of the bills that we've deferred action on today, on Thursday. You should be prepared next week. We will probably be calling more than our regular meetings next week, that being the third week of this session that's supposed to be about 3.5 to 4 weeks long. So you may actually have either one or two evening meetings next week. We will have committee staff consult with your staffs to see what your schedule is, but we may be scheduling additional meetings next week with that.
And Mr. Chairman, Thursday
morning.